Shalom. Shabbat Shalom to who may view this later with us today or another day or any day. And we are here getting the blessing, the rain from heaven coming from Yahweh in the Holy Land. It doesn't get better than that, right? Alrighty. A very interesting message today called Should Believers Celebrate Birthdays? Should believers celebrate birthdays? And I think when we become believers, you know, some of the things that are extremely hard for us at first are things like Christmas and Easter and days that are pagan in origin. You know, when you look at something like Christmas that is pagan in origin and we don't celebrate it, you know, and then you get into the term, what does celebration mean? You know, but even for the fact of showing up, you know, most of our families will say, is it wrong? We're just having a meal. Is it wrong to go there? But the premise of why they're meeting on that day is something that's abominable to Yahweh. They may not understand it, and I'm not judging people that are doing it, but we do understand it. We understand that Christmas is not the birth of Yeshua. We understand that it's a lie. We understand that there's nothing good about it. Christmas trees, all the festivities that go along with it, that all of it is absolutely an abomination to Yahweh. Well, the interesting part about it is I am going to read you some things today on birthdays and some of the things that are associated with birthdays. But I think many people will be surprised to understand that the things associated with birthdays are actually more abominable to Yahweh than even Christmas. And that birthdays in ancient times were never celebrated. They were never recognized. It was never something that people even thought about until when? Until Constantine started celebrating Yeshua's birth on December 25th. And that's the only time that birthdays, people started to think, hey, yeah, you know what? We need to celebrate our birthdays. And I think when I show some of the things that are associated with it, we'll really see that as much as Christmas, if not more, it is something we totally need to stay away from. Interesting enough, I was thinking, usually I like to put the Torah reading something with the message, but I was thinking, well, unless we do the Torah reading on those few spots that I'm going to read here, where birthdays are mentioned in the Bible, there's not really a Torah reading on birthdays. But in a way, the Torah reading does fit today, because the Torah reading, which was the official Torah reading, was about the birth of Moses. But did you notice that it never mentioned the date that Moses was born? And a matter of fact, there is not one birthday mentioned in the entire Bible. One date of someone's birth, including Yeshua. So although we can pinpoint and say by astronomical information and this star that's here that we can maybe project the day that we believe Yeshua was born, right, wrong, or indifferent. But if we're just going to go by the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, everyone, including Moses, Abraham, and Yeshua himself, not one day of birth is recorded. There's many, many births recorded, as we see with Moses. But why? Why would Yahweh say Moses was not born on the third day of the seventh month? For the same rate that why we don't cite a crescent every month. Because if we go and cite a crescent every month, ultimately people are going to start in worship of crescents and worship of suns and worship of things. And if Yahweh put the dates of these people, what would ultimately happen? Ultimately, the same way you have 100 different days during the year where all pagan religions have all these festivities for Saint Christopher and Saint this and Saint this, there would be all celebrations for Moses and everybody else. And ultimately, I think what we're going to see from this is that it's idolatry. It's idolatry to name a day for ourselves. It's idolatry to put ourselves above on a day, receive presents, get all of this attention, when all the attention only goes to Yahweh. There's nothing in Scripture that would even remotely make us think that this is something that would be pleasing to Yahweh. It's the opposite. It's vanity. And as we're going to see actual historical references, we'll see the early believers actually abhorred the whole idea of it. They abstained from it and they abhorred the whole idea of it. And interesting enough, because Christmas was not being kept until the 4th century, there's nothing that you can see in the Bible about Christmas, and there's nothing you can see even in early records of history about Christmas because it didn't exist. But birthdays it does talk about. Birthdays, it does talk about the apostles and the early believers saying the pagans do these things and we have nothing to do with it. We don't recognize it. We don't celebrate it. We have nothing that comes with it. So Ecclesiastes 7:1 starts out by saying, a A good name is better than good oil, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. So if that's the case, why would there be all this fixation, right? With hey, I was born on this day, and everybody give me gifts and have a party and cook cakes or whatever else that they do on this day. Actually, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. And as we see later on in the message, that scripture is going to be really important for another aspect of it. Like we said, nobody's birthday is mentioned in scripture. Birthdays show our life is timed. It's limited. It should be a day of humbleness. It shouldn't be a day of celebration. You know, because as we get older, what we're seeing is, in the physical sense in this world, you know, our days are numbered. And every year that goes by is less time that we have. So, logically, when you think about it, even from a logical sense, you know, what is the big hoopla? What is the big celebration? And as we're going to see from even a physical sense, that the way that people even calculate birthdays is nothing but fallacy and lies, because the Roman calendar we don't even accept. So we'll get into that a little later, though. So let's start by actually showing. There are a few different situations in Scripture that mention birthdays. But as we're going to see, never in the sense of celebrating it. And actually, each time that someone's birthday is mentioned in the Scripture, there's something really, really bad that's happening. Because what we're going to see is, before Christmas started, and where Western society started celebrating everybody's individual birthday, you know, once they started celebrating Yeshua's birthday, before that, birthdays were only celebrated for false gods and pagan kings. Normal people never thought of doing something like this, because it was such a pagan, occultic subject that a normal person would never think of, wow, I want to do this the way that they're doing this toward Artemis, or the way they're doing this toward some other false pagan deity. So let's start in Genesis 40. And we'll go to the three situations in Scripture where birthdays are mentioned. Genesis 40 and verse 20. It says, and this is when Joseph is in prison, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison house, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison house. And Yahweh was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and he gave him favor in the eyes of the warden of the prison house. And the warden of the prison house gave all the prisoners in the prison house unto Joseph's hand, in which they were doing, he was doing. Oops, I'm in chapter 39. Okay. Chapter 40, verse 20. And it happened on the third day, the day of Pharaoh's birth. It all fits into the same story, fortunately. And it happened on the third day. Interesting, we're talking about three today and the third day. Here's three not associated with something good. And it happened on the third day, the day of Pharaoh's birth. He made a feast for all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief of the cupbearers and the head of the chief of the bakers in the midst of the servants. And he restored the chief of the cupbearers to his cupbearer office, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief of the bakers as Joseph interpreted to him. So three is still associated with the number of resurrection. Doesn't change the biblical pattern of that. But we're seeing on his birthday, here's the king hanging a guy. You know, so certainly not something that is promoting it to believers, and certainly something where we're seeing a pagan king is doing this. If we look in Matthew 14, in verse 6, we'll see the only New Testament reference to a birthday. Matthew 14 and verse 6. And a birthday feast for Herod being held, the daughter of Herodias danced before the guest and pleased Herod. So then he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. But she being urged on by her mother, she says, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. And the king was grieved, but because of the oath and those who reclined with him, he ordered it to be given. And sending, he beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and was given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Boy, if that's not enough to want to be against birthday presents, I don't know what it is. And having come, his disciples took the body and buried it, and coming, they reported to Yeshua. And having heard, Yeshua withdrew privately from there in a boat in a deserted place. And hearing, the crowds followed him on foot to the cities. And going out, Yeshua saw a great crowd and was filled with pity toward them and healed their diseases. So we see here clearly, again, a birthday being celebrated by a king and not something with a very good association to it. You know, he's killing John the Baptist. And the last one I'm going to go into is in Job 1. which is a little more of even Job's thoughts on birthdays and the ramifications from it. If we go to Job chapter 1, starting in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job, and this man was perfect and upright, and fearing Elohim and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-donkeys and a very great household, so that this man was greater than all the sons of the east. And his sons feasted in the house, each one on his birthday, on his own day, and they sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it happened when the day of feasting had gone around, Job was sent and sanctified them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt sacrifices according to all their number. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts. This Job always did. So again, we see his sons literally celebrating the day of their birth. And Job saying, going all the way back to the time of Abraham, that they literally may have cursed Elohim by doing this, because it is idolatry. You know, like I said, to take a day to ourselves and put ourself above, that this is my day, this is the day of my birth, that there's some kind of great significance to this, that I should be congratulated, that I should be given presents and have all this celebration, is nothing but idolatry that comes from that. If we look at Job 3, interesting enough, we'll see his position on the subject a little deeper. Job 3 says, and after this, Job opens his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job answered and said, let the day perish in which I was born, and let the night which said, a man-child has been conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not Elohim look on it from above. Let not the light shine on it. Let darkness and the shadow of death seize on it. Let a cloud dwell on it. Let all that blackens the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not be joined to the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren, let my joyful voice come into it. And it's interesting, as it says, not let it even be counted, that I mentioned, not one birthday in all the Bible is actually counted to a physical day, you know, because of this. We also see Jeremiah saying similar things. We see David saying similar things, all cursing the day of their birth, none of them ever exemplifying what a great thing it is that everybody should be coming and blessing them and doing all these things. So before I continue with the message and get into a little bit more, what I would like to do now is I would like to read some background. Because like I said, if birthdays only started to be celebrated in the 4th century under the Roman Empire, how did it start? What is all the reasoning behind it? Why do people say happy birthday? Where do all these things come from? And since most people on the earth do celebrate birthdays, you know, should we be doing something if it has no origin in the Bible, and if it's something, as we're going to see, that's actually something that Yahweh detests. So I'm going to read here. I'll give all of the quotes as I go by them. It says, the various customs with which people today celebrate their birthdays have a long history. Their origins lie in the realm of magic and religion. The customs of offering congratulations, presenting gifts, and celebrating, complete with lighted candles in ancient times, were meant to protect the birthday celebrant from demons, and to ensure his security for the coming year. Down to the 4th century, Christianity rejected the birthday celebration as a pagan custom. That comes from a magazine article from Zelt and Welt. It's a German magazine. You may know of it. April 3rd, 1981. I'm going to give some other references also, even from encyclopedias and whatnot. Early origins of birthdays. So what is the origin of birthdays? Where did the idea of birthday celebrations come from? Originally, the idea of birthday greetings and wishes for happiness was rooted in magic. The working of spells for good and evil is the chief usage of witchcraft. One is especially susceptible to such spells on his birthday as one's personal spirits are about at that time. Dreams dreamed on the birthday eve should be remembered, for they are predictions of futures brought by the guardian spirits who hover over one's bed on his birthday eve. Birthday greetings have power for good or ill because one is closer to the spirit world on that day. Good wishes bring good fortune, but the reverse is also true. So one should avoid enemies on his birthday and be surrounded only by well-wishers. And that's why happy birthday and many happy returns of the day are traditional greetings. This comes from a book called The Lore of Birthdays. It was written by Ralph and Adeline Linton on page 20. The Lore of Birthdays. It also goes on to say, the giving of birthday gifts is a custom associated with the offering of sacrifices to pagan gods on their birthdays. Certainly, the custom was linked with the same superstitions that formed the background for birthday greetings. The exchange of presents is associated with the importance of ingratiating good and evil fairies. So you're actually giving presents because that person, because it's his birthday, has spirits around him, and you're giving presents so that person will bless you and not curse you on their birthdays. And again, it's coming from the same book, The Lore of Birthdays. The traditional birthday cake and candles have also been origin in ancient pagan idol worship. The ancients believed that the fire of candles had magical properties. They offered prayers and made wishes to be carried to the gods on the flame of the candles. Thus, we still have the widely practiced birthday custom of making a wish and blowing out the candles. The Greeks celebrated the birthday of their moon goddess, Artemis, with cakes adorned with lighted candles. And again, that also comes from The Lore of Birthdays by Ralph and Adeline Linton on page 18 through 20. And then it also goes on to say, the Greeks believed that everyone had a protective spirit or demon who attended his birth and watched over him in life. The spirit had a mystic relation with the god on whose birthday the individual was born. The Romans also subscribed to this idea. This notion was carried down in human belief and is reflected in the guardian angel or fairy godmother and patron saint. Why do people say happy birthday to each other? For the good wishes of our friends and relatives are supposedly to protect us from these evil spirits. Same as saying God bless you. When somebody sneezes and they say God bless you, that comes from because when someone sneezes, people used to think that their spirit left them, their soul. So they're saying God bless you because now you don't have a soul. Pagan. Again, something that just has no purpose in it and should be avoided. Then birthday cakes and blowing out candles. The idea of putting candles on birthday cakes goes back to ancient Greece. The Greeks worshipped many gods and goddesses. Among them, one was called Artemis. Artemis was the goddess of the moon. The Greeks celebrated her birthday once each month by bringing special cakes to her temple. The cakes were like a moon. They were made like the moon, round like the moon. Because the moon glows with light, the cakes were decorated with lighted candles. That's from the World Book on Children International. The birthday candles are thus an honor and tribute to the birthday child and bring good fortune. Thus, it appears that birthdays had their origin in mythology and magic, with horoscopes also playing a role. And that was one of the main points why people were born. As you know, horoscopes that people read, because according to the star you're born, which is astrology, which we don't believe in, totally different from the Maseroth, that people were born to be something by this astrology of the stars. So it all plays into the birthday, which is another reason why you can imagine Yahweh would not put birth dates of people in the Bible, because then we would be saying that Moses and Yeshua and the Apostle Paul are connected with this astrology stuff. Thus, it appears that birthdays had their origin in mythology and magic, and horoscopes also play a role. The history of celebration of birthdays in the West now. It is thought that the large-scale celebration of birthdays in Europe began with the cult of Mithra, which originated in Persia, but was spread by soldiers throughout the Roman Empire. Before this, such celebrations were not common. And hence, practices from other contexts, such as the Saturnalia, were adopted for birthdays. Because many Roman soldiers took to Mithraism, it had a wide distribution and influence throughout the empire. This is from Wikipedia on birthdays. And then the World Book Encyclopedia notes, under Christmas, Bishop Liberius of Rome ordered the people to celebrate on December 25th. He probably chose this date because the people of Rome already observed it as the feast of Saturn, the Saturnalia, celebrating the birth of the sun. And then it says, hence it would seem to follow that since those who profess Messiah as late as the 3rd century, they did not celebrate birthdays, and that it was not until a Roman emperor implemented Sunday in Christmas that perhaps he and others were amenable to adopting other practices of Mithraism, one of which was the birthday celebration. This is apparently how birthdays became to be celebrated among those who profess Christianity. A celebration for the date of Yeshua's birth in Rome probably began near that date, no later than 354. So like I said, since birthdays only started to be celebrated after they brought the pagan Christmas in. It's totally hypocritical to celebrate a birthday and say that Christmas is pagan, when the birthday celebration came from the Christmas celebration. Thus, it appears that the birthday of the sun festivities were a major factor in the date chosen for the followers of the Greco-Roman Christianity to celebrate. And once those that professed Messiah began to widely celebrate that birthday, Yeshua's, on December 25th, other birthday celebrations became more common. So now I'm going to read to you, did early believers celebrate birthdays? Did Yeshua, the apostles, and the early believers? This is coming from Homilies on Leviticus by the 2nd century historian Origen. It says, not one from all the saints is found to have celebrated a festive day or a great feast on the day of his birth. No one is found to have joy on that day, on the birth of his son or daughter. Only sinners rejoice over this kind of birthday. For indeed we find in the Old Testament Pharaoh, king of Egypt, celebrating the day of his birth with a festival, and in the New Testament Herod, however, both of them stained the festival of his birth by shedding human blood. But the saints do not celebrate a festival on their birthdays, but filled with the Holy Spirit, they curse that day, as an example of Job, Jeremiah, and David. And that's coming from the Homilies of Leviticus by him. Then we have, even from the World Book Encyclopedia, it says the earliest Christians viewed birthday celebrations as heathen. That comes from Volume 3, page 416 from World Book Encyclopedia. It also says the early Christians did not celebrate the Messiah's birth because they considered the celebration of anyone's birthday to be a pagan custom. Down to the 4th century, Christianity rejected the birthday celebration as a pagan custom. Only after Christmas came in, then all of a sudden they're celebrating Christmas and paganism, did they start celebrating their own birthdays. And then it says, notice also the record of the 1st century historian Josephus. Josephus says the Jews in the Messiah's day knew Yahweh's attitude toward birthday celebrations. Nah, this is the quote from Josephus. Indeed, the Torah does not permit us to make festivals on the days of the births of our children. That's coming from Against Appian, Book 2, Section 26, from Flavius Josephus. The Bible and celebrating birthdays. The Encyclopedia Judaica could not be more blunt. The celebration of birthdays is unknown in traditional Jewish ritual. In fact, it says the only birthday mentioned in the Bible is that of Pharaoh, which we already read. There is no tradition in Judaism of celebrating birthdays as holidays. Otherwise, we would expect holidays for the birthdays of Moses, Abraham, and others, but there is no such thing. The Bible does not even record their birthdays, just as the New Testament does not record the date of Yeshua's birth. There is an affirmity of such... And this is another quote here. Interesting enough, relating to this, the thing that really shocked me above everything was, according to, I'm going to read Anton LaVey here, who wrote the Luciferian Bible, what would you think is the greatest holiday of all the year to a Luciferian? I'll read it to you. The highest of all satanic holidays in the satanic religion is the date of one's own birth. Can you imagine? The highest satanic holiday. This is what he says, how the Satanist feels. Why not really be honest? If you are going to create a God in your image, why not create that God as yourself? Every man is a God if he chooses to recognize himself as one. So the Satanist celebrates his own birthday as the most important holiday of the year. After all, aren't you happier about the fact that you were born than you are about the birth of somebody you've never met? Or for what matter, aside from religious holidays, why pay higher tribute to the birthday of a president or the date in history than we do to the day we were brought into the greatest of all worlds? Despite the fact that some of us may not have been wanted, or at least were not particularly planned, we're glad, even if no one else is, that we're here. You should give yourself a pat on the back, buy yourself whatever you want, treat yourself like the king God you are, and generally celebrate your birthday with as much pomp and ceremony as possible. That's a direct quote from Anton LaVey, The Book of Lucifer, the satanic Bible. And then the Encyclopedia Americana says, the ancient world of Greece, Egypt, Rome, and Persia only celebrated the birth of gods, kings, and nobles. So again, the fact that it's the highest satanic day of the year should tell us even more than Christmas, you know, that it's something that is completely based on cultic paganism. and something that certainly believers would not want to be involved in. So birthdays started to be celebrated by everyday people in the West, starting with the Roman Empire, instituting Christmas as the false birth of Yeshua, and then regular people started. It's hypocritical to refrain from Christmas celebrations and call them pagan, and then celebrate a birthday which is just as pagan and came from Christmas. So we see how it is illogical to do that. Daniel 7:25, talking about the anti-Messiah, which Constantine did somehow at least partially fulfill the scripture. It says, "He shall speak commands against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he intends to change times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand until a time's time and half a time." He intends to change times and laws. We know from the time of Constantine he did that. He changed the Sabbath to Sunday, and he changed the started with the celebration of Christmas. Constantine fulfilled this by instituting Christmas and changing the calendar and the Sabbath to Sunday. The Roman calendar is a lie and fully pagan. The months are pagan, the days of the week are pagan. In 45 BC, as it was adopted because of January, Janus, the false god, Mayer, May, Juno, all false gods. Men have even applied pagan names to the 7 days of the week. We know that Sunday for the sun, Moon Day for Monday, Twiz Day for Tuesday, Woodens Day for Wednesday, Thor's Day for Thursday, Frigga's Day for Friday, and Saturn's Day for Saturday. Why would we calculate our birth by the false pagan Roman calendar anyway and then calculate the holy days another time by the biblical one? So logically think to yourself, of course you're living in a world where people don't know Yahweh's way. So if you were to talk to someone on the phone and say, yes, I'll meet you on Friday, Friday is still the 6th day of the week. So even though the name here, Frigga's Day, is pagan, if you said to somebody that was not here in Israel, if you said Yom Shishi, they ain't going to know what you're talking about. But at least it's still a 7-day week. But the Roman calendar doesn't coincide with Yahweh's calendar. So if I went around this room and asked each person, what day were you born on? The day you're going to give me is not the day you were born on. Because every year it's going to be different. So why on earth celebrate, you know, April 16th is my birthday, when no, it's not my birthday. According to Yahweh's calendar, maybe the year I was born it was April 16th, but the next year it's April 30th, and the next year it's going to be April 3rd. So how can we sit here and say we're going by Yahweh's calendar and doing all the holy days and everything by the biblical calendar, and then we're going to sit here celebrating the Roman calendar for our birthday, which is absolutely pagan? It is so contradictory, you know, it's illogical. It makes absolutely no logic from that point. And when you think about it, because, you know, from the Western mindset, you know, and it's a normal thing. Why do we celebrate birthdays? Because that's what we were taught. You know, our parents told us when we were kids. And today, you know, if anybody's from the West, you don't know how much this has gotten out of hand. I mean, people spend $20,000 and $30,000 on 4-year-olds' birthday parties. They have all these birthday parties now that are all theme parties, where everybody dresses up like some kind of space thing or some kind of new movie or all of this. I mean, it has become so much, just like Christmas, no different. Christmas is all nothing but commercialism and buying and vanity and everything else. So why would we have anything to do with it? And according to Yahweh's calendar, you know, like I said, it changes every year anyway. Where in the Greek calendar, you know, the one that we go by, if you're born on February 29th, you've got a problem. You know, on a leap year. You only have a birthday every 4 years, right? But in Yahweh's calendar, you have 20-day months 1 year, 30-day months the next year. You have a leap year. So, you know, if you're born according to the true Hebrew calendar, about 1 in 8 people really don't have a birthday anyway, the same way somebody born. So it doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter. Like the Bible says, the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. So why on earth all this pomp and circumstance because of a physical birth and not looking at the spiritual birth? So let's look at John 3, because I want to tie this into more of a spiritual application here that maybe we've been missing because our mind has been a little bit too much toward Western mindset. John 3 in verse 3. Yeshua answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that if a man is not born again, he will not be able to see the kingdom of Yahweh." Nicodemus said to him, "How is it possible to enter the womb of his mother the second time and be born?" Yeshua answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that if a man is not born from water and spirit, he is not able to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So number one anyway, there's not a person in Yahweh's congregation, I don't believe, that believes in abortion. Why don't we believe in abortion? What's the main reason we don't believe in abortion? Because every one of us believes life begins at conception. So if our life began at conception, then what's the big celebration? You know, the day that we're coming out of the birth canal. We could just, you know, why doesn't Yahweh have circumcision on day one? Why does he have it on day eight? You know, maybe to keep us away from focusing so much on the day we came out of the birth canal. But again, that's the physical birth. That's the physical birth. Our spiritual birth happens when? You have to be born again. So you don't see people celebrating. If anybody really should be celebrating anything, they should be celebrating when they became a covenant believer with Yahweh. Not when you're born with your human nature in this evil, wicked world that's all timed anyway. And you want to know something? At least 3/4 of believers I meet don't even remember the day they were baptized. They can't tell you the day. They go, oh, I think it was 1987. Oh, what month it was. So that's our really rebirth anyway. And actually, you want to know something? Getting back to Ecclesiastes 7:1, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. So we are actually commanded not to celebrate the day we're physically born. We're commanded to celebrate the day we spiritually die. We're commanded to celebrate the Passover. So we're not told to celebrate Yeshua's birth. We're told to celebrate his death and our death. Because when we're baptized, we're buried with him in baptism. And what's part of that baptism vow? Why are we going under the water? Because we're dying to the old person. So why would you want to celebrate every year to someone that you died to? But what do? We celebrate that ceremonial death every Passover. Every Passover, we're having a birthday. We're having a birthday of making covenant relationship with Yahweh. So there's two things we're doing at Pesach. We're remembering Yeshua's death, because without his death, we couldn't have that rebirth. And we remember our covenant relationship. We're renewing it every year. That's our birthday, if you want to get technical about it. That's the day we're remembering, and that's the day he tells us to remember. And that's why the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Because the day you died, the day you went under that watery grave, that's the day you started to live. That's the day that eternal life was put inside of you. The day you were born a child, that's just the day you started on this miserable road of human nature in this world. That's terrible. So where's all the pomp and circumstance for that? You know, why do we want to feed our kids to focus on something like that? It doesn't make any sense. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. It says, "For I have received from the Master what I also delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. In giving thanks, he broke and said, 'Take this. This is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, the cup also after supping, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood.' Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For each time that you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until his coming." So again, the Bible never tells us the day Yeshua was born, but it certainly tells us the day he died. Because we have to commemorate that day. Because the day he died is the same day we died. Because we're buried with him in baptism. Because the day that Yahweh put his spirit in us, the day that we got eternal life, the day that we started this wonderful covenant walk, that's the day he wants us to commemorate. And we commemorate it by Passover, like I said, by renewing our covenant vow every year by the symbols of the bread and the wine. We are not commanded to celebrate Yeshua's birth, but we are commanded to celebrate his death. We also celebrate the death to the old self, not the birth, but the rebirth each Passover that we perform. So this way, logically think to yourself. In 30 AD, the Pesach was on April 5th. So why don't we just celebrate every year April 5th as Passover? If we're going to celebrate our physical birth on the same Roman date every year, even though it's incorrect, then why don't we celebrate Passover every year on April 5th? Because the Roman calendar is a lie. It's a pagan calendar. It's contradictory. It's not set up by Yahweh, and it's a lie. It's that simple. And that's why we need to go by the biblical calendar. We need to wait for the year to turn. We need to wait for the equinox. We need to count to the 14th day of every month, and it's going to be on a different date of the Roman calendar every year. which should tell us, really, the Roman calendar has no bearing over our life. And yet so many people base their whole life on their birth on this certain day. It's a total contradiction to our belief system, you know, to think that way. The last thing I want to get into shortly is when we're looking at the idea of birthdays, is that we are commanded to flee all type of idolatry. You know, it's that simple. We're commanded to flee all type of idolatry. And unfortunately, I'm shocked sometimes when I go to the States and I'll visit in different places, or we'll have a meeting and I'll meet people that are still celebrating Christmas. There's some people that are still going to a Sunday congregation as they're going to a Sabbath congregation. And this synchronism, this blending in of paganism with things that Yahweh says are holy, is just, it is so unrighteous before Yahweh. You can't do it. You can't take something that's pagan and something that's holy and try to blend it together. That's what Christianity has done for 2,000 years, and that's the reason why we abstain from it. 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 15. It says, "In what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, and they shall be called my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh. And do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughter to me, says Yahweh Almighty." See, the people of Yahweh, we're supposed to be setting the standard. We're supposed to be the light bearer, because we have the truth. And so many times it's the opposite way around. Like I said, for years when I was in America, in a Sabbath-keeping congregation, that was a covenant congregation, but they always tried to mimic the world. The world has their worldly sports, and because our children can't participate in them, because they do them, most of them on Shabbats, what do? The congregation tries to set up worldly sports, just like high school does, and just like other churches do. But it's wrong. Sports, nothing wrong with sports as far as running and getting exercise. But the whole point of competition is not from Yahweh. It was amazing. There were people that I knew for 20 years in the congregation, and you go out there on a family night for a little game of basketball, and wow, you want to see human nature change. People elbowing each other, cursing. It was like, I never saw this. In 20 years, I never saw this from this person. And now you get them on a sports court where there's winners and losers, and who's going to make the most points? And it's really, really bad. So it's the same way here. We don't want to mimic the world. We want to be the light bearer. We want to teach them right from wrong. We want to show them. You know, we want to show them what is good and what isn't good. You know, when you really think about it, there's only one thing that gives eternal life. Repentance from our sins, accept the blood of Yeshua, you know, and be immersed in His name. That's what gives us eternal life, right? So here it is. All the people in this world that are not doing that, people that are refusing that, what are they born to destined to do? To die. So it's almost morbid. Like, is there anybody that celebrates the death of somebody? Like, you know, maybe you have a child that was killed in the war, you know, or maybe your grandparent. Do you celebrate their death? Do anybody? I never met anybody that's, oh yeah, every year we celebrate, we have this big party because this guy we loved, our father died. No, you wouldn't celebrate a death because you're sad when someone dies. You're not happy. But it's the same thing. For worldly people that are not repenting, every year that goes on, they're one step closer to their death, not their life. So where's the celebration? Where's the celebration? The only celebration is for the people that have come into eternal life. And like we said, that celebration doesn't come with a worldly contradictory Roman calendar date. That celebration comes with the Pesach every year. That's the celebration that Yahweh tells us. So it's not even logical, the whole birthday thought. The second scripture I want to go into is 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 19. It says, "We know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come, and He has given to us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Yeshua Messiah. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Amen." So here it is. He's saying, we know that we are of Yahweh and the whole world lies in wickedness. Like we said, become you separated. And then the next thing he says is that the only way we have true understanding is through Yeshua Messiah. And then the last thing he tells us is stay away from idolatry. You can't blend it. It can't work. Although there are many people who try to do it, you can't blend idolatrous practices with something that is kodesh, something that is set apart, and try to mix it together. The last scripture I want to go into is 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 12. He says, so that he that thinks he stands, let him be careful that he fall. And I've heard many times people in many different avenues use this in the world when they're getting involved in bad things. You know, they're getting close to that fence of sin, and you say, whoa, you better be careful. It's like, oh, no, I'm strong enough. I'm strong enough. I've had people tell me, when I tell them about sending their children to public schools, 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, oh, no, no, we're monitoring it. My child's strong enough. Strong enough? At 5 years old? When they're teaching them, you know, the teacher could be a homosexual. They're teaching them that homosexuality is a choice. All of this pagan stuff. What do you mean strong enough? He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We need not to think we're strong enough. We need to think how weak we are. We need to abstain from all forms of unrighteousness and idolatry in anything of the world. We can't put a big enough hedge around our life in the world we live in today. You know, of things that are against Yahweh. Then the next verse says, no temptation has taken you except what is human. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you are able. But with the trial, he will also make the way out so that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14, on account of this, keep away from idolatry. Keep away from idolatry, my beloved. Verse 19, what then do I say? That an idol is anything or that an idolatrous sacrifice is anything? No. But the things that pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the master and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the master and the table of demons. Or do we provoke our master to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful to me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful to me, but not all things edify. And this gets back to my question, what is celebrating? What really is celebrating? I've really come to the conclusion that people, I would say probably at least 90% or more of people in the West who quote-unquote celebrate Christmas are not actually thinking in their mind that they're doing something idolatrous. And probably in most of the cases, probably 75 to 80% of the cases, they are having just a simple meal, family meal. But they're doing it around a cultic tree, celebrating it in a pagan way, singing pagan songs and doing all kinds of pagan customs. So maybe even if they're not consciously recognizing it, let Yahweh be their judge. I recognize it. And I don't want no part of it. I want no part of it. And that's why, since the time I've been a believer, I've never gone back to my family's house for a Christmas dinner. A quote-unquote, you know, simple Christmas dinner. We're just here, we're just having dinner together. And I say, you can have dinner 364 of the days of the year and I'll come. I'm not going to come when the reason why you're doing this is because of something that is abominable to Yahweh and totally paganistic and against his word. And unfortunately, it's the same with birthdays. It's the same thing. To think a term like happy birthday, that's a simple thing, we just read where it comes from. You're literally wishing demons to that person. It's not coming because of something that's good or something of Yahweh. It's something that's evil. So again, maybe we didn't know it beforehand, but now we know it. We know where it comes from. If the source is evil, you know, then why would we want anything to do with it? Like it says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things profit. All things are lawful to me, but not all things edify. So no, I'm not going to buy gifts for somebody on a cultic, pagan, Roman day of somebody's birth. That's nothing that a lie. Because again, Christmas came from this lie. Birthdays came from this lie. Easter came from this lie. And it's all the same lie. You know, Revelation 12 and verse 9. Satan has deceived the whole world. And what we're to do is not to see how close we can get to the lie without burning ourselves. We're to abstain from the lie completely. We're to be children of the light and children of the truth, and we want everything in our life to be of the truth. We don't want any contradictions with it, and we don't want to compromise. Like I said, you need flexibility without compromising. But if something is clearly proven to be something that's not of Yahweh, and like I said, not only not of Yahweh, but the fact that in the very Satan Bible, the greatest holiday to a Satanist is the day of his birth, is enough for me to say, I want no part of it. In any way, form, or shape, I want no part of it. Of course, there are times where people, somebody, you could have a grandmother that hits 100 years old. You don't have to be disrespectful. You know, you could say, that Yahweh blessed you with a long life or something. You could say something really nice. You know, I'm talking about this year in and year out ritual of birthday celebration, of bringing up our children, of having people focused on a Roman cultic calendar date and doing it year by year, month by month. It just doesn't make sense. You know, and I think especially living here in Israel, if there's ever a time to get away from the Roman calendar completely, we can do it here because they don't go by it. You know, did anybody see any kind of great Christmas celebration a few weeks ago? No. Did anybody see a great New Year's celebration? No, of course not. Because at least here, and they got their own problems, but at least they do keep the Sabbath as the seventh day. At least they are going by the Aviv calendar, you know, and they're going by the months of the year that come from the Hebrew calendar. So I know it would be tough in America to completely get away from it because people just don't understand it. But at least over here, we can make a greater effort, you know, that we could try to get rid of the Roman way from us. So again, only Yahweh has a day. Man doesn't have a day, that's idolatry. Only Yahweh has a day. The Shabbat is the day, every seventh day that we come, and we celebrate Yahweh's creation. You know, the holy days are Yahweh's holy days, they're not ours. All his holy days are not centered around a particular figure on earth, but a particular figure in heaven. Every single holy day is about Yahweh's plan of salvation. So it's not to put the focus on a human being. We don't have any special day for Moses. We don't have any special day for Abraham. We only have special days for Yahweh and Yeshua. There's nothing special that people should praise us on the day of our birth, as even Job and Jeremiah and David cursed this day. Human beings are filled with vanity, pride, and wickedness. If anything, we could commemorate the day of our spiritual rebirth, which we do by Passover, like we said, commemorating our baptism and our covenant relationship. And we're actually commanded to do this when we renew our covenant every year. Birthdays are pagan, and the fact that somebody's birthday is the highest holiday in Satanism, I believe it says it all, and believers should not in any form celebrate birthdays as we saw the early believers believed. Parents are not doing a favor to their children when they spend thousands of dollars on frivolous parties and gifts and building their vanities with these all kinds of presents. And what I've seen is, if you ever sit back, you know, they have a lot of these parties, even at McDonald's and stuff, and just watch one of these parties, none of the kids are ever happy. The kid that it's not his birthday is always mad, and you hear the parent, don't worry, yours is in 2 weeks. Don't worry, yours is in 2 weeks. And it's building nothing but vanity. It's actually nauseating to think that these little tiny children are being enticed in such an evil way. You know, like I said, the money that goes into them is just unbelievable. All you're doing is instilling the same worldly vanity in them that our parents instilled in us. We need to come out of the world and be separate and not mix with the culture of Satan. Yahweh bless. We'll turn off. And if anyone has a comment, we'll go into